Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents With Love, Louisa by Ashton Newbold, narrated by Christine Rendell. Chapter 1. A lady had only two respectable choices when faced with poverty. She could enter into a hasty marriage without any hope of future happiness, or she could call upon her relatives, no matter how distant, for their hospitality. Being the romantic of all romantics, the first was not an option for Louisa Rosemeyer. Tapping her chin, she thought arduously over how to address her letter. She had already thrown out one sheet of foolscap, cringing at the way "My Dear Aunt" had appeared on the paper. Millicent Irwin was indeed her aunt, but she was not dear. Louisa had never even met the woman. Her aunt didn't care to associate with her relatives, which did little to bolster Louisa's hopes of the woman taking her in. Perhaps it would be best to keep her request professional, distant, and straightforward, with as few endearments as possible. "Mrs. Irwin," she began in a neat hand, "I have not yet had the privilege of making your acquaintance, but I am your great-niece, Louisa Rosemeyer." She chewed her lower lip as she forced herself to be as concise as possible. The likelihood of a response was slim already, and she didn't want to get her hopes up. "I have fallen upon difficult times, and have no place to belong or call home, at least, not without causing disrepute to the friends that are currently offering me their hospitality at Lark Hall, an estate in Surrey. I am writing my humble request to live with you in Folkeswich. I would do all I could to make you comfortable and happy while I am living under your roof. I am often described as quiet and reserved, so you should not expect me to be bothersome in your company. My presence in your home would only last for as long as you allow." Louisa felt the colour drain from her face as she wrote. But then, where would she go? She shook her head fast. She couldn't think so far into the future. She had been offered hospitality from her sister Alice and her husband, but Louisa couldn't help but feel burdensome, living among a newly married couple with a child on the way. She wanted to have a purpose. If her elderly aunt had been alone for so long, perhaps she desired the company. Louisa would feel helpful. After all, she had never been to Folkeswich. She had heard the small village in Yorkshire was lovely in the summer. "Please inform me of your decision at your leisure." Her quill paused, and she rubbed the feather against her lower lip as she thought of how to sign the letter. How cold and distant did she really wish to be? For all she knew, her aunt might like to know Louisa cared about her and claimed her as a relative. Dipping her quill in fresh ink, she pressed the tip to the paper. "With love, Louisa."
"What the devil is this?"
Jack Warwick muttered under his breath. His blurry eyes skimmed over the letter in his hand. He sat at the dining room table beneath the small chandelier, a soft glow filling the room. Had the butler brought this letter to him? Yes, he could vaguely recall the starched old man walking in with a salver. The writing was neat, almost too neat. Had he ever seen such a neat hand in his life? Words jumped from the page, tangling together in his lopsided vision. Jack blinked hard, trying to clear his sight before attempting to read again. He clamped his lips around the rim of the bottle in his other hand, throwing his head back for yet another gulp of brandy. When his eyes managed to focus, he read the first line, "Mrs. Irwin." A deep chuckle rumbled through his chest. Why exactly he was laughing, he could not entirely say. All he knew was that he was most certainly not Mrs. Irwin. He had let her manor, Benham Abbey, but from what he had gathered about the woman, she was not one to receive letters, or visitors for that matter, ever. And if she did, she likely would have driven them out with her cane, or even with a sword and pistol. His laughter continued to rumble through his chest without his consent. He continued reading down the page, his eyes focusing on the name of the poor girl requesting to live with Mrs. Irwin. Louisa Rosemeyer. What a hopeless young thing. She sounded entirely too desperate. Was she a young woman? Or a spinster? How could he know? At any rate, she must have been very desperate indeed to be soliciting a request to live with Mrs. Irwin, even if she did happen to be the woman's great niece. Jack rubbed his jaw, pausing to swallow what remained in his bottle. The room spun, adding to his delirium. It wasn't kind to laugh at the misfortunes of others, but it was serving well to distract him from his own. He bunched the letter up in his hand, pushing away from the table and taking unsteady steps toward the door.
"May I assist you to your room, Master Warwick?"
Jack ignored the offer, not even looking to see where the voice had come from. He couldn't make it to his blasted room on his own. He was not a child any longer. He stumbled over the first step of the staircase, landing on his outstretched hands. He recovered, picking up the letter that had fallen with him, taking hold of the banister with his other hand. When he finally made it to his bedchamber, he sat down heavily in the chair at his writing desk.
Parchment. Quill. Where the devil was the ink?
He gathered together his supplies, the strange urge to laugh still hovering in his throat. His head pounded as he thought over what to say, struggling to create sentences in his muddled mind. Miss Louisa was fortunate that her letter had fallen into his hands instead. If Mrs. Irwin had received it, she wouldn't have hesitated to turn the girl away. Jack would make certain she was invited, and once she arrived, Mrs. Irwin would be forced to contend with the situation. He would pay a great deal of money to see that. His chuckling resumed as he scrawled on the parchment.
"Dear Miss Louisa, do come to Benham Abbey as soon as you wish. I will be most eagerly anticipating your arrival. Sincerely, Mrs. Irwin."
He looked over the incredibly short correspondence, his head aching too much to write more. It would be quite exciting to rattle Mrs. Irwin. The entire town would thank him for doing so. That unpleasant woman would finally have to consider caring for someone other than herself. If Miss Louisa travelled so far, Jack doubted Mrs. Irwin would send her back to where she came from. Where had she come from? He glanced at the address and copied it down, sealing the letter and preparing it to be posted in the morning. If he left it on the edge of his desk, it would be carried off before he even awoke, and by the pounding in his head, he would most likely sleep most of the next day. Without bothering to change, he staggered to his bed, falling on top of the blankets rather than under them. An odd, unwelcome smile still tugged on his lips. Perhaps it was because he had forgotten his own troubles. What had he been so upset about earlier? He could no longer recall. His brow furrowed as his eyes closed. Just before everything went black, a familiar voice chanted through his mind, one that he heard every time he closed his eyes. At least, this time, he wouldn't remember it when he awoke. The chant grew louder, even as his consciousness faded. "You killed him. You killed him.
You killed him.
Chapter 2. A pair of navy blue eyes met Louisa's over the rim of her teacup.
You wish to leave Lark Hall?
She swallowed the scalding liquid, nearly choking as she did. Compose yourself. Now was not a time for appearing inept. If she could not swallow her tea properly, then she most certainly could not travel across England on her own.
Yes, that is indeed my plan. I have already written to my aunt in Yorkshire, and she has sent her reply. It was brief, but she did confirm that I was welcome at Benham Abbey.
Her voice was softer than she intended. No matter how hard she tried, she could not sound anything but timid, especially when being questioned by Matthew. She was still surprised that her aunt had written back at all. She unfolded the letter from her lap, showing the one sentence to Matthew. Once again, she was reminded of the horrendous penmanship. Her aunt was quite advanced in years, so that could excuse part of it.
What ghastly writing, Matthew muttered, echoing her thoughts. But I suppose it is indeed an invitation.
Was it relief she saw in his eyes? Or perhaps a mixture of relief and worry? Matthew sat up straighter, interlocking his fingers in his lap from where he sat across the tea table from her. The long case clock in the corner of Lark Hall's peacock drawing room ticked 5 times before he spoke.
Are you certain you wish to leave?
Yes.
I will not have you travel there alone, if that's what you mean.
Matthew's gruff voice was inarguable. Ever since his younger sister Bridget had married a few months before, he had seemed to replace her presence in the house with Louisa, treating her as he had always treated his younger sister, as if she were fragile and in constant need of protection. He was not wrong. To travel to Folkswich alone would be extremely daft and improper. But what other choice did she have?
Louisa didn't belong at Lark Hall any longer. She had been Bridget's companion, but now Bridget was living across the country as the new mistress of Thorncarrow.
Louisa's parents had died years before. Her stepfather was in debtor's prison, and her sister Alice was married as well. Louisa couldn't bear the thought of being an inconvenience any longer. Not at her sister's home, nor at Lark Hall. Matthew knew as well as Louisa that rumours had already begun circling town about what a young lady like Louisa was doing at Lark Hall. Soon Matthew's younger brother, his wife and their 2 children would be moving to a house of their own. With only Matthew's elderly aunt in the house, it would appear to all the gossiping mouths of society as though Louisa were some sort of mistress of Matthew's. She couldn't bring that sort of suspicion and disrepute upon a friend who had been so generous toward her.
Do you mean to suggest you would accompany me there? You're not actually my brother, Matthew.
Louisa's eyes fluttered down to her lap.
Surely he understood what she meant by that.
The 2 of them travelling together alone would be equally frowned upon if she went alone.
I am the closest thing to your guardian.
Matthew leaned back on the sofa, his long legs stretching out in front of him.
And the closest thing to your brother. During your time here at Lark Hall, you have become something of a sister to me, regardless of whether or not you view me with the same sentiment.
He gave a half smile.
My conscience would not be clear if I sent you across England on your own. No matter what you think, you are welcome here. Do not feel as though you have to leave.
I do.
She cleared her throat, trying to excuse the quick way her words spilled out. I do have to leave. She had burdened his reputation long enough already.
I thank you for your hospitality these months since Bridget was married, but I do not belong here any longer. You know that. I must find my own way before you begin inviting suitors to dine with us in an attempt to marry me off. She cast him a knowing smile. He had done the same to his sister before she was married, but fortunately Bridget had possessed the cleverness to fend off all his suitors of choice. Louisa didn't know if she would have the same ability to fend off a man like Bridget had so effortlessly. It would require a boldness of speaking and confidence that Louisa lacked. Matthew gave a low chuckle. I suppose I do have a propensity to do that. He paused for a long moment, his smile fading. I must see that you are well cared for one way or another. Marriage would be the best way to secure a comfortable future for you. There was a time that Louisa had wanted to marry Matthew. When she and her sister had first visited Lark Hall, it had been their goal to secure husbands and comfortable futures for themselves. Louisa's heart, however, had quickly abandoned the effort. Love was all she would marry for, especially now that she had seen both her sister and Bridget married so happily and so madly in love with fine gentlemen. There was nothing Louisa wanted more, and nothing she wouldn't sacrifice for it. She and Matthew were like siblings, and at times she even considered him a fatherly figure, one who would protect her as no one ever had before. She did feel at home at Lark Hall. That was why it was so difficult to leave behind.
I would be willing to fund your season, Matthew suggested. You could then find a suitable husband, rather than live with an aunt you have never even met.
That is too generous, Matthew. Louisa shook her head fast. You have shown me enough kindness already.
Is there such a thing as enough kindness?
He cocked one eyebrow. She sighed. At times, too much kindness can make me feel rather helpless. I should like to feel capable of creating my own plans and executing them properly. Matthew seemed to relent, fixing his dark blue eyes on hers with a sigh.
Well, if you would like to execute them properly, you must not travel to Folkeswich alone.
In the hallway beyond the open drawing-room door, the children of Matthew's brother, Oliver, chased one another, their giggles echoing. Their governess, Margaret, hurried behind them, her pale cheeks flushing from chasing the children, straight blonde hair sticking out both sides of her cap. She was only a few years older than Louisa, and the two had become dear friends, especially since Bridget had left Lark Hall. Margaret paused in the doorway, her eyes flooding with curiosity. She gave a quick curtsy before interrupting the conversation.
Pardon me, but did I hear you speaking of Folkeswich?
Matthew turned, giving a nod.
Louisa intends to travel there alone. Am I so ridiculous to persuade her against it?
Margaret gave a visible swallow, shaking her head.
Oh, no, dear Louisa, that is a long journey. She paused. I made the journey alone when I first came here, and I would not recommend that.
Alone? Louisa shifted, studying Margaret's downcast gaze. Margaret was rarely caught without a smile, but something appeared to be troubling her now. Her fingers twitched around her skirts. Her blue eyes lifted and her lips parted. Before she could speak, a soft crash sounded in the hallway. It was followed by a shriek of laughter. Margaret's expression transformed to one of concern, and she excused herself with a quick curtsy, darting down the hallway toward the children. Louisa laughed under her breath. Poor Margaret has her hands quite full. I ought to go help her. She made to stand, but Matthew stopped her.
I worry for Margaret as well, he said in a heavy voice. Oliver has found a house to rent in Bath. He and Julia and the children will be moving soon. My brother seems to have the same desires as you, being unwilling to stay here and accept my kindness. Matthew looked down, lowering his voice.
They haven't yet told Margaret that they will be unable to afford keeping her on as governess once they move away from Lark Hall.
Louisa's gaze travelled out to the hallway, her heart sinking. From what she had learned of Margaret's past, she was in straits just as dire as Louisa's. She had nowhere else to go. Perhaps it would be off to a workhouse for both of them. It would be better to go with a friend.
Louisa bit her lower lip, resisting the idea.
No. She was wise enough to find a different solution. So was Margaret. Perhaps Mrs. Crawford would like a companion. It would allow Margaret a place to stay.
Matthew laughed under his breath.
I did think of that, but for you. Unfortunately, my great aunt feels that to have a companion would deem her unable to keep herself entertained, which was an insult to her pride. In truth, I think she will miss you once you leave Lark Hall.
Louisa's heart stung. How could she be missed in a place as grand as Lark Hall? She was like a fleck of dust, floating around the house without reason. All that fleck of dust could do was cause inconvenience. Fortunately, my great-aunt seemed to appreciate the idea of me coming to stay with her.
Louisa thought back to her aunt's letter. Had she seemed appreciative? She had been direct and brief, and that was all. Though Louisa would not admit it to Matthew, the thought of travelling to Yorkshire set her stomach twisting in knots. Overwhelmed by her thoughts, she decided she would be better off fretting over the problems of someone else rather than her own.
I will go assist Margaret with the children.
Louisa excused herself from Matthew's presence with a bow, walking into the hallway. Margaret stooped over a broken vase on the floor, one hand pressed against her forehead. Strands of her straight blonde hair clung to her reddened face. She exhaled slowly in exasperation before she noticed Louisa's approach. She quickly put a smile on her face.
I suppose I will be sent packing after this.
She gestured at the vase that was now a pile of shards on the floor. Louisa swallowed.
Little did Margaret know that she was to be sent packing, but for other reasons.
Louisa stooped down to help Margaret gather up the blue shards, carefully pinching them and piling them on the nearby corridor so as not to cut her hands.
I don't think the Northcotts would dismiss you for a vase.
Louisa scowled at the floor. Margaret was silent for a long moment before speaking.
I wish I could accompany you to Folkswich. My parents live there, you see. My parents and my three little brothers.
Longing stole over her features.
I haven't seen them in a very long time. I had forgotten you were from Yorkshire.
Louisa sat back on her heels, pausing her work for a moment. Her mind raced.
Perhaps you can accompany me there. I am certain Matthew would take the journey with us, but it would not be so improper if you travelled with us. Then you could visit your family.
A spark of hope entered Margaret's eyes before she blinked it away.
Oh, no, the children need me here.
Her gaze flickered to the children, who still played riotously in the corner.
I must earn my wages. I'm afraid my family cannot persist without them.
A heavy stone of dread dropped through Louisa's stomach. When would Olivia and Julia tell Margaret that she would be excused? It did more harm than good to keep it from her. Difficult conversations were necessary at times. As much as Louisa wished she could tell her, it was not her place. Have you considered seeking employment closer to your family? Louisa asked. Now that you have experience and a very reputable reference, perhaps you could find a position in Yorkshire.
How could I leave Susanna and Cecil? She laughed. I adore them, despite their mischief.
Coming to her feet, she dusted off her skirts. It took all of Louisa's strength to hold her tongue. Matthew, who must have been eavesdropping from the other room, made a sudden appearance behind her, his tailcoat catching in the corner of her eye. It was not entirely Matthew's place to tell Margaret either, but he didn't seem to care for such matters. In fact, he wasn't often one to abide by rules at all.
You ought to come to Folkswich, Matthew said.
Margaret looked down. I do not see how that would be possible.
Oliver and Julia are moving to their own home soon. Julia's inheritance will only provide them with enough to live on, not enough to afford the expense of a governess. I know Oliver intended to inform you of that matter soon.
Margaret's face lost its colour. Louisa inched closer to her, touching her forearm in an attempt to comfort her. Matthew's voice softened, as if he were recognizing his tendency to speak too bluntly.
I will accompany you both to Folkswich, and ensure you are well recommended for a position near your family before I return to Larkhall. I promise.
It seemed as though Margaret had lost the ability to speak, or breathe, for that matter. She stared down at her feet, her shoulders slumping before she appeared to compose her thoughts.
I could not ask so much of you.
You did not ask, did you?
Matthew gave a soft smile.
It is an offer, one that you would do well to accept.
Margaret's shoulders straightened, and she gave a firm nod.
I would be most grateful for your assistance, and to come to Folkswich.
Home. Louisa gave her arm a soft squeeze. It shall be my home soon, too. You will have to tell me all that I have to look forward to about the place.
Worry still etched itself in Margaret's forehead. Perhaps she did not yet understand the significance of a promise from Matthew. He would look after them both as he would his own sisters. They had nothing to fear.
Louisa took a calming breath, repeating those words in her head. Yes, she had nothing to fret about. So long as her aunt was even just the smallest part kind and hospitable, she would be quite content.
Chapter 3. They are coming to work for me!
Mrs. Millicent Irwin lifted her chin, jowls wobbling. Her grey eyes flashed dangerously, staring down her long pointed nose straight into Jack's soul.
It was agreed upon while you were too drunk to comprehend it.
Jack scoffed, watching with complacence from the doorway, as Mrs. Irwin stood on the steps of Benham Abbey, explaining why he was still left with only a few servants to run the household. He would have to hire his own after all, it seemed. It had already been a fortnight of the housekeeper pestering him about the matter of her working twice as hard to make up for the lack of servants. It was not his fault she had to actually work to earn her wages. At any rate, how did Mrs. Irwin even know Jack had been drunk? He was never without his wits about him, not even after he had been drinking. He could recall their conversation fully. He squinted against the sun. Couldn't he? Perhaps there were a few events in the past his drinking had caused him to forget. Very well. Take the servants, Jack said. It matters very little to me. He waved his hand through the air. Maids are not so difficult to find. They won't simply drop themselves on the doorstep, Mrs. Irwin nearly snarled. They must come with experience and references. I am letting this house, Jack raised his eyebrows.
I shall do with it and manage it how I wish. Good day.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?